Okay, so with us today is Steven, and Steven is actually doing a lot of work on Become Nomad. He's the writer of Become Nomad in a way. I discovered that it's very hard for me to write, and basically what I do, I record sessions, and Steven is putting everything into words. So, Steven, how do you feel with all this responsibility of...
It's quite a lot of power that you've given me.
Yeah, actually it is.
To take control of your voice and put it out onto the internet.
Nice. So, first of all, thanks for doing that. And really, I think you're doing it, part of you is doing it because you do have some empathy or let's say some kind of a strong feeling that is into the nomadic lifestyle topic, right? Something that... So maybe you can explain to us a little bit, or first of all, give us a little bit of introduction about your nomadic life of sorts, and
sure.
And yeah, and why do you like this topic?
Okay, well, I'm 27 now. When I was 23, I'd just graduated, just before that actually, when I was 22, and I decided that I'd been putting off traveling the world for too long, so I took what skills I had with me, and I booked a one-way ticket out to Thailand, and I was teaching out there and traveling around, and I got to the end of the year, and my contracts were over, and a lot of my friends were deciding on going home, and I thought, well, you know, why not make a life on the road? Why not go down the road of the nomads? And so I did. And it resulted in more or less maybe 4.5 to 5 years of traveling around, up until this summer, really. And, you know, sort of taking every opportunity along the way, to sort of fund myself and find entrepreneurial kind of opportunities. And then somewhere down that line, you know, I had the good fortune of meeting you and getting involved with Become Nomad in the forum. And I think for me, it's almost a kind of a cathartic way of staying nomadic. You know, there's been a lot of times when, we'll be working together and something that you said about living on the road, about making a choice to live a sort of nomadic lifestyle, has really sort of resounded with something in me that I hadn't previously faced full on yet, and it suddenly brings something out, and thinking that's it right there, that's the choice I made, that's my lifestyle. So it's been a pleasure to be involved with you so far anyway.
Nice. Yeah, I'm, you don't want to be involved in me when I flick. I have like moments like that I become a total man, but that usually happens only 1 year after people know me. So that's why all the girlfriends leave me after 1 year. But that's another topic. Great. So that's amazing, and it's a great compliment because you know, one of the things that I envy people that stay in the same place and still get the nomadic vibe. So if you somehow got to a situation that you can go into a nomadic vibe just by helping a project that is nomadic, then that's pretty amazing. So that's really, really nice to hear. Okay, so what I thought about, what we're going to do today is basically discuss our mega article, which is the nomadic lifestyle article that we have on Become Nomad. Maybe talk a little bit about some of the pointers there, and, you know, the introduction is talking a little bit about that a nomadic lifestyle may seem like heaven to some of us, but it may seem unrewarding and bitter for others. So I think one of the things we do on the blog, and you've seen it probably when you write those articles, is we're also discouraging people from taking this lifestyle, or in a way, you would say we're very much open about the risks as well and disadvantages, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all the way through, you know, the post that we've worked on, there's very much been sort of a particular balance between the fact that it's not all rosy and it's not all sort of happy traveling.
Yeah, and you know, the guys that we have in the comments, some of them, when I talk to them, I really feel like they shouldn't go for it. Like, I'm actually telling you, don't go for this lifestyle. It's not really for you. I talked about it with Aaron on the first episode, and really some of the people, I honestly think, and that's what I'm telling people in the comments as well. If you're trying to run away from something and your life is currently unbalanced, what are really the chances that you're put, because it's unbalanced. You know, our life is pretty much unbalanced a lot because we're in an internal imbalance. We don't really get along with ourselves. So what I'm telling those guys, usually they're 17 years old or whatever. That's a phase I would never even think about being nomadic. I'm telling them, look, if you don't really get along with yourself, what is more challenging, and you probably... you've seen it on the road. What is more challenging than throwing yourself into a situation of uncertainty and constant change? And that's pretty much the place where you most have to get along with yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, that's our way of being a little bit responsible, because there are a lot of blogs, travel blogs out there of life living the dream. Or people are living the dream, and they're like, look at me, I hacked life. And that's how people get their followers, in a way, building this dream. But I'm trying to say, okay, there is a more balanced picture here, and you will have your down moment for sure. The first bullet was talking about that, basically the definition of nomadic lifestyle. This is a tough one, so let me surprise you with a tricky question that is not easy.
Go for it.
What is a nomadic lifestyle for you? Let's say, what is a nomad, or what would you say it is?
Okay, I think, well, I can begin to answer that question by saying when it kind of dawned on me that I wasn't just on some long holiday with my traveling. And that was towards the end of my first year away in Thailand. I was approached, I was at a bar somewhere with some friends. I started talking to an Australian guy, and he was just asking, you know, the basic kind of traveler's questions that you get everywhere in the world. And partway through them, he'd asked what I was doing in Thailand. And I said, I'm living here. And immediately he sort of countered with, so you're just a teacher then, you're not really living here. No, I'm living here and I'm working here. He said, no, you're not. You're just on a glorified holiday, really. And at that moment, I realized that I'd made this switch into, taking the responsibility of living, I guess, nomadically, of not having one fixed, location that I was going to plan to spend the rest of, you know, let's say, even 2 years in the future, sort of in this one particular place, and then build up the kind of context that I'd already switched into, the kind of mindset that I guess you have to, which leads you to the kind of responsible way of living without a single location, being able to pick up and put down somewhere else. There's a lot, like what you just said, there's a lot of risk, involved in that. And at the same time, there's a lot of reward when you can face those kind of challenges, when you know that you're capable of perhaps moving to an entirely different country where you have no contacts, you have no previous kind of business engagements, you have very little saved away for, you know, the case of emergency, and you make it work. You know, if you have to do that if you want to sort of face the risk of living nomadically, which is then to say, being able to pack up at a moment's notice, to go somewhere completely different, and seeing it all with the same kind of opportunist eye, no matter where you're on the world. I think, to me, that's definitely the kind of nomadic lifestyle in a nutshell, and that can be That can be on the other side of the world, or that can be right down the end of your road, you know.
That's great. For me, it's also the idea of the best definition I have so far is knowing that you're not staying. Wherever you go, even on the first day, it's this constant feeling or very intuitive answer of, yes, I'm here, but I'm not really here. Or I'm here for a very short time, which is pretty cool. The second bullet of the article about the nomadic lifestyle was talking a lot about priorities. And I have to tell you, I've prioritized this lifestyle in a way of saying, okay, this is who I am. This is who I am, and this is stronger than the relationships I have, the career I have, or the assets I have, or the loves, or whatever. And I think this part is crucial, because life does, in a way, especially modern life, does ground you, or is always pushing to ground you into one specific place. And for me, this realization of, hey, I'm a nomad, and this is currently the top priority for me, is helping me to stay like that. I guess it's also me not being attractive to girls that have avoided me to have a serious relationship. But this is a great...
That's where your nomadism really is coming from.
Yeah, exactly. I think the biggest attachment there is for most people is a relationship or family. And in a way, when I was... I was having the normal lifestyle, I would have never thought of living this lifestyle if my girlfriend wouldn't break up with me. Because I was feeling very, very comfortable with the normal lifestyle. So I totally see how a situation, can take away any possibility of nomadic lifestyle. Now I wanted to ask you, are you, like me in a way, because let's say I meet someone really, really nice that I like, I decided not to lie about what I'm doing because the instinct is to lie and say, yeah, I'm staying, or I'm thinking about staying. And I decided not to lie. But does the nomadic lifestyle for you is more of a good feeling of, hey, that's how I'm enjoying life currently, or is it a principle for you that comes before other things that are very important in life, like love, whatever?
I think I'd have to say I come at the nomadic lifestyle a little bit differently than you do, in that I don't see it being mutually exclusive to the normal life. And I think part of that is due to the kind of people that you meet while you're doing the nomadic thing, while you're in one place for a couple of months and the next place, and you meet the same kind of people who are doing exactly what you do. And I think for me, it's strange because, you know, thankfully I have, in terms of the people that I left when I first left the UK, it may have seemed in the beginning, it may have seemed to have kind of been a decision born a little bit out of escapism or wanting to sort of sever some ties to things which might otherwise have held me down. But really, after a while of looking back to that, I realized that, you know, you make your life wherever you are. And those kind of things that can drag you and root you to a place so that it's a lot harder to leave. It's a choice whether or not you let yourself be surrounded with many of those. Not perhaps everything, you know, there is an element that you can't control. But if you're lucky enough to have the means to, be able to keep yourself going, experiencing new things, then that translates to, it's not just places, like you might assume a nomad is all about, sort of just going from country to country, but it's everything. I mean, it can be different jobs that you work, it can be different types of people and different types of activities that you try. And I think for me, the only essential thing for being a nomad is really being able to put yourself out, perhaps not to a complete extreme, but expose yourself to novelty, to something that's new at any one time. You know, you wake up and you see something completely different, or the potential for something completely different. So, I mean, I've definitely been at that place where it's a double-edged thing too. It can be a beautiful feeling to think that, you know, in a couple of days you're going to be in a completely different country with all kinds of possibilities there. And at the same time, it can also be terrifying. You know, you can arrive in a place and think, well, I'm perhaps not really sort of going to be forming anything lasting in this one particular spot. There's nothing to tie you there. And it definitely works both ways. It's interesting coming back to the same place where you left, and knowing that I'm going to be here for a little while, and still having that eye opened. You know, I've talked to a lot of people since being back here who, you know, have definitely lived a little bit of the nomadic lifestyle sort of here and there over the last few years. Since they've been able, since they've, you know, been in their adult life, essentially. And the hardest thing, everybody says across the board, the hardest thing is coming back home and keeping your eye open, like you are so naturally when you're traveling in a place you don't know, to experience new things and keep everything fresh and stay so optimistic as you normally are when you get, you know, novelty coming through your life so quickly. But if you can keep that with you, then you keep the roots of being a nomad, you know, and it's not isolating, and it's something to be appreciated and shared and enjoyed, really.
Nice. I agree. Sadly for me, I've noticed that if you put me in one place, I become a zombie. Every day will look exactly the same. Even in the hostel now, Galway, a new place, never been in Ireland. In the hostel, in breakfast, I always go. I have my place for breakfast, this chair in the corner. For some reason, I always like to sit in the corner, totally isolated. I just caught myself for 1 week. I stayed in the same hostel for 1 week. Every day, going to the same chair in the same corner. And then I came to a realization that the only thing that saves me from this habit of going to the same place and is basically that I'm going to check out from the hostel. You know, that's the only savior I have. So the element of being a nomad and changing location, as far as I'm concerned, is some kind of a drug. Basically, you're taking drugs not because you need them, at least not in the beginning, but it's because you can't reach the level of stimulation on your own. And I simply found a way of feeling alive while taking this drug of traveling, let's say. And I have to say that I'm not that proud that I'm on drugs, basically. But that's okay. It works.
There's something to be said for that, though. I think that's one way of looking at it. But at the same time, you know, I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago, and I think he's in his late 50s. And at the time I knew him, you know, was like four or five years ago, and he was a teacher. And he'd been doing the nomadic life for years, you know, ever since he could. So more or less 30 years of just traveling around, going from place to place, doing whatever we could. And it was really interesting because the side of him that I saw quite often was almost kind of as if he was stuck, as if he was addicted to something about being in the world that was more like an escape or more not wanting to face a reality somewhere else. But then the more I looked at it, the more I realized that no, it's a conscious decision to do that. And it's natural, obviously, to find patterns and try and look for routine wherever you can, because it is something that gives us a bit of a grounding, and a bit of a sense of normalcy and something to be expected. And there's a lot to be said for that. You know, we all have our habits. And yeah, I mean, I definitely empathize with you on that. I'm probably exactly the same, you know.
I love routines. So everywhere I go to, the first thing I come up with is routines. Like I'm saying, okay, I'm staying here. I'm probably going to stay in Galway for a month. And I'm like, first routine, get a co-working place. I'm addicted to co-working because I don't like working at home. And then find a swimming pool. And then leave home every day before 9 o'clock, and then stay long, or one day go out with people and the other day don't go out with people and stay longer and work. So, for me, it would drive me totally crazy if I had no routines. The nice thing is that, you know, I'm changing locations, so the routines are changing from place to place. So if I need to sleep, I'm going to swim every day in the Adriatic, and if I'm in Brasov, I'm going to walk the mountain every day in Romania. That's a nice thing, that you build a new set of routine in each place and you feel really comfortable with the routine. And then, boom, you're pulled out of it and you're like in a totally new place and you're building a new life that is kind of short. Some kind of a cycle of birth and death in a way. Every time you leave a place, it's some kind of a death for the life you had.
It's a big building thing too. If you know that you can build something up and then you can not destroy it, but you can completely change it and then do it again. It's an inner strength, I think, that it takes a lot of you to be able to do. There's definitely a lot of people that perhaps wouldn't be ready for that straight away. You know, it does take time, I think.
I don't think I am ready. However, there are some circumstances, and that's why I like the circumstances so much, that keep on pushing me from place to place. And I was thinking to myself, for example, I had a very strong affection to Zagreb in Croatia. Probably the people I spent time with and so on and so on. And I was thinking to myself, you know, why don't you stay? You know? And then the answer was, I can't stay. My visa is running out. So in a way, you have those external, you know, the beauty of countries is that they don't want you to stay. And that's what keeps on pushing me all the time, because I'm like, oh, I can't really stay because they won't allow me to stay. I don't want to be illegal. So I'm kind of grateful of actually not having even an EU passport, because I'm pretty sure that if I had an EU passport, I would have a blog about Zagreb. So this is really some of our biggest disadvantages are actually the thing that keep on pushing us and helping us maintain this lifestyle, because if there was a constant struggle, should I stay or should I go, I would probably stay. Pretty cool.
I think you're right. I think in certain countries, you know, knowing that you have a date that you're definitely going to exit by, I think it spurs you on to really sort of get more out of your time in a particular place and doing the kind of things that you're doing. Even if it can be, I knew someone, a good friend of mine, who when she was traveling around, you know, she set herself, it sounds so simple, but she set herself one goal a day, just one. It would change, you know, the idea was that goal would be slightly different for each single day. But if that one goal was achieved, then that's it, you know, and it could be anything. It could be a big goal, a small goal. The idea was to keep something fresh and new and to just avoid those routines where, you know, you might look back and think, perhaps I could have been doing something else, you know, but that, and combined with knowing that you have to push on, knowing that there's something waiting for you on the other side, it's definitely a wonderful thing, and it definitely helps the lifestyle along, I guess.
Yeah, it's great. It's actually, it's great, but again, the kind of person that I am, I need the negative side of, hey, you have to leave. If you don't leave, you become illegal here. And the negative side that I keep in my home country, in Israel, is basically I go and I live with my parents every time I get back to Israel. And I don't let myself to rent an apartment. Because there is a limit to how much I can live with my parents. They're totally amazing, and I love them. But you know, I'm already 36. So after 20 days, you have this sinking feeling of you have to, now it's time to move. And I have to tell you, my happiest moment in Israel is actually when I booked the flight ticket. Because then you have this happiness. I have this happiness, that this very happiness of like, yes, and it's like the where your soul is telling you, wow, you've done the right thing now, you know? Because we take a lot of decisions and we're not sure if they're good or bad, but sometimes when you make some decisions and you really get the feeling of you know that you've made a good one. By the way, what happens in Israel is that my toughest moment as a nomad is basically the days before I leave Israel, because that's the only attachments I really have, you know, the family and friends and whatever. And then I go to dinner with my brothers and I talk with my parents, and only then do I really have this notion that totally disappears the minute I hit the road of, am I doing the right thing? Only then, in the last 2 days before I go traveling again. That's basically the only part that I'm saying, okay, this is tough. Because when you're in your place, and probably it's gonna be a little bit hard for you to, now that you're back in England, you know, this idea of, okay, I'm leaving in 2 weeks. Are you a little bit afraid that it's not going to happen?
That I'm not going to be able to leave?
Yeah.
To be honest, no, I'm not afraid that will happen, because I think it makes it that much more sweeter, you know, knowing that you can make a life in anywhere. You know, the only thing that sucks a little bit, when I came back this summer, I went to see my grandmother and my grandparents, and in the sweetest way possible, this lovely old Welsh woman, she told me, I'm basically not allowed to travel outside of Great Britain from now on. That's it. She drew a line, sort of a circle around Great Britain, and said, that's it. That's your sphere. Now you've done, you've seen the world. You don't need to move anymore. And, I thought, well, there you go. You can't argue with, you know, your grandmother, but it's something that, I know that, if you can do it, if you can make a living, wherever you are, and if you're lucky enough to be with people that accept that and that encourage that, and that see all the opportunities within it, then, you know, you have, to an extent, I know you said it before in a kind of disparaging way, but you have hacked life. You know, if you can use that opportunity, then it's just like a life that you would make anywhere, you know, with ups and downs, with challenges and setbacks, and also great rewards, you know. So, I definitely see that I'll be traveling again sometime in the future, but at the moment I'm happy to be taking the opportunities that are right here on my doorstep.
It's really nice. You're still very young, so
you know. Thank you.
Look at me, I'm 36 and I'm still doing. I'm doing this for 4 years now. So
nice.
I actually started very late, and I think it's really cool that you started earlier. Some people are asking me, like, what are you doing? Or, why are you changing locations? And when I'm looking at them, I'm actually in a position now to tell them, what are you doing? Or why are you staying in the same place all your life? And I'm not saying this, that I'm going to them to... It's not coming from a place where I'm attacking them. They're super interested in what I'm doing, of changing and going between country to country. And now I'm in a stage when I see them so surprised, I'm not using it as a way to attack them. I'm really in a stage that I'm like, forget me. I'm not interesting. I'm changing locations because the world is big. I want to sit with you and understand what are you doing? Because for me, you're super interesting. You've decided to pass all your life, spend all your life in one place. And I'm fascinated. So,
I think too, when you're living the nomad's life, especially when you're in places that you spend less time in, it can be difficult to see people around you who have a connection to that place that you necessarily don't have, perhaps because it's, a completely foreign culture, different language, different custom, whatever it might be. For me, that's one of the hardest points, about doing this is not having the same, or not immediately having the same strength of connection to a place. You know, you really have to work at it to make that happen for you.
For me, the level of connection in general to a place changes that I just have an internal feeling. For example, I came to Dublin. Dublin is a fun city. Felt absolutely nothing. I even didn't feel like I'm in a new place or a new country. Everything fell into place and I was like totally bored. I have to admit I was totally bored. I went to a web summit of a business convention, so actually it made it even worse. I was there and I was like, not staying here. And I was pretty sure I'm going to stay in Dublin for a month. And now I'm in Galway. I didn't know Galway existed. If you would tell me there is a city called Galway when I was in Dublin, I would be shocked that there are other cities in Ireland. I just came here for the weekend. And I said, whoa, on the first day I arrived here, I said, whoa, I went by the river. Dublin also has a river. Galway has a river that connects to the sea. And I was like, whoa, lovely space. So, sometimes it comes to you and that's something that I learned I'm too flexible now to say, okay, I'm staying for a month in a place that why not? Stay a few days and then decide if it's gonna be your mega base or not. And a mega base is a base where I stay basically more than 1 month. So, it's pretty cool. I think we covered most of the point of the article. So, we're cool. That was a very nice conversation. I hope for you as well. And, what do I ask from you? Yes, keep up the work and become nomad, because I think this is something that is combined to the entire tribe of anyone who is interested in the blog. The minute you're leaving, become nomad, we're gonna have lots of posts with a lot of things being misspelled, like totally, because nobody wants to read my English. So you're really doing an amazing work
Fantastic.
And we'll definitely have more conversation in the podcast when we have some time.
Definitely.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too, Eli.
Okay, take care.
Awesome. Enjoy Ireland.